Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast.
Together this year, as if that was an excuse, like the other team in the conference finals didn't do that.
Well, what happened was it doesn't even matter.
You know, we didn't have time to get it together. You know, like we just.
Did he say that with like lemon pepper wings in his mouth? Is that what happened there?
You're nicking it off his
like,
finger.
Oh man, there were absences that cost us some time.
I just can't quite figure
picking
out
it out of his teeth.
Why we don't have any chemistry.
It's like Lou, in your mic'd up segment, you said 1, 2, 3 Magic City leaving the last huddle.
I like not getting through welcome to Locked On Lakers was not planned at all. I just started laughing and there was nothing I could do there. All right. Well, as you can tell, we're going to have some fun on this show. Harrison is hopping on. This is one of the first in a long time podcast with the three of us all on it at the same time. And if a situation would call for it, it would be this one, in which the Clippers are getting roasted up and down Twitter, and it's their own doing. I was doing to Jonathan Sharks the entire game, and he was saying that Twitter is going to be this incredible place, not just because of the 3-1 blown lead, not just because of the star power and Paul George's involvement, but because it was the Clippers who made all these jokes for them. it was the Clippers who went out there and said, like, spotlights not or what was it,
street lights over spotlights. Yeah.
Like, you can't talk as much as they do. Pete, you believe in the basketball gods as much as anybody that I know, myself included. I think this is one of the things that you and I see the most eye to eye on, and I just don't think you can talk as much as the Clippers talked over the course of the season and before the season and hope to have a good outcome there.
That's right. I have to be careful with what I say. So we've brought Harrison on to translate into Petty Pete. So let's say this. So basketball is it's a process, right? A team has to build on concepts and has to build on rotations and you have to play together and build a cohesive unit so that you're not giving up open threes and everybody is on the same page defensively. And if you skip steps in that process, the basketball gods are always displeased. We saw this in 2004 as well with the Lakers team that lost in the finals to the Pistons. So that's something that just they weren't very cohesive, and they paid the price. They fell apart in that second half.
All right, Pete.
So what
Pete
was trying to say was that when you get a bunch of soft ass mercenaries with no hearts together, and you let them skip games and like not play and not practice all season, and just continue to tout like how much higher your ceiling is than anyone else. Oh no, if we just get healthy and we just really try, like at some point we're going to be better than everyone else. Like then you blow a 3-1 lead for the second time in franchise history. The Clippers are now, that's why the Clippers are now 0-for-8 all time in games with a chance to go to the conference finals. And why Doc Rivers has now blown the most 3-1 leads of any coach in NBA history. So that's what Pete was trying to say there, I think.
I think you're right. Pete, I'm interested in your thoughts on what impact Kendrick Perkins would have had on this series.
I mean, they've still never lost, right? This lineup is not lost without Kendrick Perkins.
No, the Clippers with Kendrick Perkins as their starting center are still undefeated.
They have never lost a game, never missed a shot, never like committed a turnover, nothing like that.
NBA's rigged.
I'm also interested, Pete, like from also, because I want to continue down this path of like the steps that the Clippers skipped here, and this idea that not only can you bring a team of mercenaries together and also kind of also challenge the basketball gods by skipping games while you're healthy and big games while you're healthy. Like that lack of big game experience seemed to play a role in this one, right?
I mean, Kawhi has plenty of big game experience.
The throat clearing is incredible.
The throat clear was a yes.
Yeah, I mean, Kawhi had and Paul George had 0 points in the fourth quarter.
None.
Could you imagine LeBron James scoring 14 points in a game seven and losing a 3-1 lead? While going 6-for-20 from the field and team falling apart?
I just want to be clear. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George combined for as many points in the fourth quarter as we did? That's how that went?
That's how that went.
That's just numbers. You can't get in trouble for saying that.
That is a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a fact, isn't it? That will always be a fact for the rest of history, won't it?
Forever.
And no, I think what Pete was saying is that the meteor
petty
are some
Pete,
clowns
petty
for the way
not,
that they,
not
yeah
Pete,
what
pe- not
sorry
Pete.
What petty yeah. Pete what was yeah. trying to say was that the meteor are some clowns for constantly downplaying this Lakers team, and like every single series, you know, they're the underdog, whatever, like every series the Clippers have entered, it's like, oh, they'll just turn it on and they'll just win at some point because they're just better and they have a higher ceiling, you know, but like, and that LeBron, I think, because people have expectations of him coming through and because he has such a reputation, would not be allowed to have this type of game and still retain their kind of like without a lot more heat on their superstar status, whatever. Like Kawhi is someone who like his trainer is out there tweeting after like every February game that he's the best player like in the entire league. And like, this is why like he's better than LeBron. Like the Lakers don't have any dogs. Like I didn't hear a whole lot of barking from the Clippers tonight either. And
we only seem to hear barking when they're up 15.
They're kind of front runners, I think, is how Petty Pete feels. You know, like if I can be the Petty Pete translator.
He just shrugged. I mean, I can neither confirm nor deny Pete agreeing with that statement. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, we're going to keep on laughing at the Clippers as long as we possibly can, and then eventually turn our attention towards to, you know, how the matchup looks between the
No, this needs to be a whole show thing.
All right, we're going to keep this thing going. Let's take a quick second. And to be clear,
didn't even make the Western Conference. After all that.
I'm going to try to do some live reads here in a second. And while we do this, Pete and Harrison are going to be laughing at me the whole time in the background. So wish me luck. Wow.
Anthony, I don't know what you're... ad read was for, but you know who should have used Built Bar and or you know, the car website is Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and maybe they could have gotten some parts that would have helped them in a like championship series.
Well, no,
and or some like muscle to be able to come through.
Well now those guys get to use Built Bar on the flight out to whatever vacation they are taking right now, and then,
it's a really nutritious snack to keep you energized while you're in Cancun.
Yeah, and then given their extra time, they get to learn how to work on their own cars using rockauto.com. I also want to, I think there's a ton of meat on the bone here to peck at here with Pete and Petty Pete. And
so they're not boneless wings. It's wings that are on the bone that we're picking at.
Lemon pepper.
You know, I'm a vegetarian, but tonight this tastes great.
Oh, yeah. We're feasting tonight.
I am not expecting you guys to stroll down this path with me because this is I am making a disclaimer that this is just me making these points. But the coverage of the Clippers this year, outside of Jovan and at some points, Miriam Swanson, outside of those two people, was Sabrina. Borderline unethical.
Sabrina.
Like, to the, oh, and Sabrina. Well, Sabrina, yeah. Like, she's among us. She's our people.
I just said, hey, I'm just making sure.
I know. So, but like the Clippers coverage this year, outside of those three people, was so fawning and was so fanboy to the point where the Clippers were sending uniforms, San Andreas uniforms, to people who call themselves journalists for Sports Illustrated. And good God, if there's a way that you could potentially define how far Sports Illustrated has fallen in the last few years, that dude Farbod is the definition of it. That guy is a joke. Like Lee Jenkins, who now works for the Clippers, by the way, is still not doing as great a PR as Farbod is. So I am so done with like the way that these people talk about the Clippers. And the fact that they're not looking at this, like if you're a Clipper fan and you go to these people for like an understanding of the situation, you have no idea how this happened. But everybody else who was paying any attention whatsoever could have told you that this was coming. As soon as the chips were down, we knew that Paul George was going to fold. We knew that Patrick Beverley's tail was going to fall between his legs. And this was good. This was how this was going to play out. Except the people who were covering this team, other than those three people that I talked about, you would never have seen it coming. You would never have understood that this was coming. And I think they failed on their job of covering this team. Anywho.
The Clippers, to take things in a direction that doesn't potentially get me or Pete in trouble, the Clippers sure do have a lot of like fake tough guys on their team, don't they? Like that offer up a lot of really, really tough guy quotes. And like a lot of stuff, like they just talk a lot for like a group of guys that collectively like, has anyone on that team won anything? Well, Kawhi, I guess. But outside of him, no, right?
No, I mean, like it's also a group of guys who like to talk about how little they want to talk, right? Like, they also like to pat themselves on the back for how little they want to talk. Pete, I want to go to you on this and then eventually get to Petty Pete. But this idea that, you know, you can rest throughout the season. We talked about the big game aspect of this, and we've talked about the process aspect of this. But also, like, I just want to get to, like, you know, this basketball and all of professional sports. Like, this isn't just a pro basketball thing. But basketball is this thing that serves as entertainment, and these guys are paid to play every night. And one of the things Michael Jordan says to everybody who has ever heard him talk about, you know, the way that he approached even a regular season game was that on any given night, I know that there's somebody in the stands that wants to see me play.
LeBron too, and Kobe too. They've both talked about that a lot.
Those guys have talked about that a lot. And look, maybe Kawhi has some issues physically that legitimately don't allow him to do that. But I will say that this is a trend that dates back really early in his career. And I just think in terms of just talking, you know, purely basketball gods here, and you can be careful so that Petty Pete can take over. But I just think that just in terms of pissing off the basketball gods, there is something to be said about a special player not suiting up every night that he possibly can while he is healthy, and the impact that that is going to have eventually when we're talking about this intangible basketball religion. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, I do.
And speaking as Pete's translator / lawyer, I'm just going to say when he answers this, he's just talking about the concept of what Anthony was talking about, not any one specific player.
Yes.
There you go.
Well, when you look at back at the different organizations that he's played for, Toronto was a team that was together for years and years and was very good. They had, and they're one of the best organizations in the NBA, right? Yeah. They even showed that this year, right? They fell in the second round, but that team went as far as they could really go.
And that's as close as a series as you're going to see, by the way.
Also, just as far as Kawhi.
Probably wow, further.
That's true, isn't it?
Technically further, because that was a closer series that they
played. Yeah, no, actually, they had a chance to win in the fourth quarter. So.
They didn't lose game seven by 20, did they?
Yeah, yeah. No, they did not.
And then prior to that, San Antonio, right, in terms of continuity, both of those places are two of the places where the culture is set, the people have been there for a long time, there's a lot of cohesion. That wasn't the case with the Clippers this year. This was a new team. And so while those periods of time where he will, you know, where he won't play, that is probably more difficult on a team like the Clippers versus the last two franchises he was with.
So if Petty Pete can chime in here, I think what I'm trying to say as Petty Pete is that the Clippers just didn't have leaders this year. Kawhi has been carried in that respect his entire like NBA career by Tim Duncan, you know, for Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili first, like there in San Antonio, Kawhi could be the quiet guy. He could be the silent assassin because they had other guys to lead that locker room and that you would actually want to play for and get behind. And then in Toronto, he goes to Toronto, he gets shipped out to a place that maybe people wouldn't have considered a championship culture. So I think he gets some credit for that. But look, like, let's be honest here. Like Masai Ujiri is like a real leader of an organization, like a guy that like you can tell really cares about his players, like really gets a lot of buy-in. Nick Nurse, we've seen, is an incredible coach at establishing culture, establishing a system, cohesion, getting guys to play together. And like you had championship veterans like Danny Green coming with Kawhi to Toronto. You had Kyle Lowry, who maybe had not won a title yet, but clearly was a guy that gets his teammates to play hard, like gets organized, like gets buy-in from the entire roster. You bring in Marc Gasol, who then continues to help with that. You just have a lot of like actually hard and tough-nosed guys instead of the guys who do impressions of that, like the Clippers have. And like you just have leaders to carry Kawhi so that he doesn't have to talk. And then when he gets to the Clippers and it's like him and then Paul George, who I don't think has ever inspired anyone to want to follow behind him, you know, like with the way that he's gone about his career, just chasing from team to team, trying to find a 1A to latch onto. Like, and then you have like what? Like Lou Williams is supposed to be your veteran leadership, the guy who goes out to clubs after every game and like gets busted at Magic City during a pandemic. Like, who is the leadership on this team? And like, as Petty Pete, that's what I'm trying to say.
Wow, you didn't even take a breath. That was a rant, and that was, you nailed it, man. You nailed my.
I mean, even to that point, like one of the
What's
things.
What's up, that... Laker fans? Today we're going to take a look at the Clippers' lack of leadership.
And that's the video. Like the video just goes to black.
Yeah, it just goes to black.
Here and is then it... all of the Clippers' leaders. And then that's it. I do, you know, because one of the things that was talked about at halftime of this game was, you know, Jay Williams was saying that you look at the performances from other star players with their teams, and they tend to inspire similar type performances. They tend to lift up everybody else, you know, kind of emotionally and psychologically, and they get everybody going. Whereas like Kawhi will have scoring outputs and everybody's just like, all right, that happened. You know,
like, have you not even aside from like the scoring out, because obviously he's a productive player, but like just watch him on the court. Have you ever seen him like look like he is inspiring or lifting up another teammate? And like, look, LeBron kind of does, you know, LeBron sometimes does a little too much in this respect. Like when he's real.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing sometimes. But at the same time, I think it is genuine. And like, it's someone like when you listen to LeBron or you see him interact with his teammates, you're like, okay, that's a guy that you would want to follow behind. When you see him get the whole team together for a voluntary mini camp in Vegas before the season, like that's leadership right there. Yeah. And when you see Anthony Davis calling out LeBron for like his like own defensive miscues, like probably one of the only guys on the team that can do that. Rondo too, DeMarcus Cousins too, when he was there. Like this team has actual leaders and guys who like push each other to be better. And it just never felt to me like the Clippers had that, like guys who would like, they have a lot of guys who like to yap and talk, but it just didn't feel like they ever like talked to each other or lifted each other up. Or when you watch them, like every shot of Kawhi that goes viral,
all they have like, in their lockers is just mirrors and they're just talking to themselves.
every shot of Kawhi that you see on the sidelines, like there was like one moment where like Marcus Morris is trying to do some chemistry, puts up the bunny ears behind him, and Kawhi's just staring dead-eyed off into the distance. Like, I can't imagine that's an easy guy to be like, to, you know, do the win one for the Gipper speech behind. And sometimes that stuff, there's too much made of it, but I think you need someone to lead the locker room. And like, when you collapse after it, like in a, like when you lose 3-1, like this, you know, to a team that nobody was really giving a chance to against. I believe I said before the series, the Clippers basically got a bye. Yeah, like, you know, insane. And look, all due respect to the Nuggets, they're clearly better than I gave them credit for. But like, you know, I think you saw the lack of leadership come through. Again, as Petty Pete, that is what I have to say.
Let's take another quick second here. When we come back, I'm interested, you know, because I, in this era of analytics and just kind of like cold, hard stats, I think it's cool that we're seeing how important team culture is and team chemistry is and that stuff. And this is something where I don't even think we're going to need, you know, Petty Pete. I think we'll be able to get Harrison Fagan's thoughts on this too. but I'm really, you know, it makes me happy to see that these things that are still considered intangible and thus ignored by the analytic community really do matter. So let's take a quick second. When we come back, we will talk about that. I am going to try to do some live reads, and then we will talk about that. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. We mentioned it earlier in the show, and I will continue to mention it forever, so long as Built Bar continues to support us. And good Lord, you know who comes through in the clutch? Built Bar. Built Bar comes through in the clutch in ways that Paul George dreams about. Like, Paul George made an actual commercial about coming through in the clutch and has yet to come through in the clutch. You know who doesn't have to make commercials pretending to come in the clutch? It's Built Bar. Built Bar comes through every time I look for him to. They will provide nutrition. They will provide nutrition while it's tasting great. And they will do so without bragging about those times that they did come through in the clutch when they actually probably did not. So head on over to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON to save $10 off not just your first order, but your second and your third and your fourth and your fifth. Just like, you know, like the Clippers did not win a first or a second or a third or a fourth or a fifth title. No matter how many orders that you put through with Built Bar, through BuiltBar.com, using the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll be able to save $10 off your order. So again, that's BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON to save $10 off your order on an incredibly great product. Built Bar is as great a product as the Clippers were not great. BuiltBar.com. Do you understand the point that like that we're trying to make here? I'll start with Harrison because we have yet to hear from you as you the entirety of the show.
I mean, you've heard some from me.
but you know what I mean though? We're like, you know, momentum is another thing that is kind of under attack right now by the analytic community. It's like, how does it matter? And if it does matter, should we try to find ways to try to quantify it? And I think another thing that I think will never be quantifiable is the importance of chemistry, the importance of being willing to sacrifice for somebody else and put your ass on the line, say in on defense or something like that. Like, those are things that you look at the teams that are now active, right? You look at Miami, they seem to legitimately care about each other. You had that whole Jimmy Butler rant. We got some real motherfuckers on this team, right? We got some, you know, and like everybody really rallied around that concept. You see the way that the Celtics, you know, rallied around each other, and I'm not going to say anything more to compliment those guys. You see
the way they lost today too, by the way.
Just yeah, point that out. good point. We see the way that Denver has now rallied around each other to come back from down 3-1. And then, you know, we have documented all season long the way that the Lakers really seem to care about the culture and building up this culture and benefiting from the culture that they have built all season long. And then you look at the Clippers and you look at and Houston, for example, these teams that are built only on, you know, trying to like you said the other day, Pete, you know, work backwards from the solution to the process. And I just don't think that's any way to build a culture. And finding out that that actually matters is pretty damn cool.
Also, I think that there's something to be said for not treating every single player like an asset. Like Houston is really guilty of this, where like every single player that comes in there, like it's, you know, it's after like a hard fought contract negotiation, like unless they're a star, or it's like about like, oh, they're bringing them in, but like that's a really good contract for Daryl Morey's going to be able to do something with
right.
that.
That's something like, that, oh, yeah, we're way too like, I remember there was a guy last year that gave the Lakers like a C minus for their offseason, because while we did sign LeBron James, our role player signings were not good. Therefore, like the obsession with depth and with what, with like winning little, like, oh, you won that trade, you
winning
know,
the
like
micro transaction versus yeah, winning like the transaction that usually wins in the NBA.
Right, exactly. And it's like, yo, that so signing LeBron is going to pay dividends for several years, and it's the foundation of anything good that can be built here, right? And that's been the case. But, you know, you didn't nail the eighth man to a team-friendly contract. Then it's like I saw a tweet tonight about the Lakers and Nuggets, where it was like, yeah, Lakers may have the best two best players in the series, but Nuggets might be better three through might have the next 3 through 10. For one, that's not true. For two, like having the two best guys is, and Jokic is wonderful, but having the two best guys like really matters in the NBA, and especially if 3 through 10 can play defense, which is the whole concept of how this team is built, that it just it drives me insane the fascination with the minutia and with the winning those microtransactions and thinking that depth or coaching and things like
everyone
that
everyone
wants
to feel like they can trade machine their team to a championship, essentially.
That's a great
like
point.
It's this fetishization of like finding the like just the little move that's gonna it's gonna make everyone greater than the sum of their parts or whatever. Like if you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis, first of all, that's a pretty good start. But like the point that I was making almost about the transaction stuff is it's not even just about like the media coverage or perception of it. It's like for the players in the locker room. Like I mentioned the Rockets, but the Clippers, like how do you think the rest of their roster felt when like they had fought and scrapped against the Golden State Warriors? Like they were this whole like greater than the sum of their parts team last
year.
This
is something that I really hit home before the season. Absolutely. Yeah.
Like all of a sudden Paul George and like Kawhi Leonard are there. Everything is centered around them. And again, like somewhat as it should be, but it just felt like those guys were like brought in, completely given the keys. And then everyone else in that locker room probably had to feel like they were pushed aside. And I don't think that it was done in the most elegant way, especially not like, it's one thing when the guy comes in and he's like, all right, like we're all in this together, and they take charge of the culture like LeBron did.
That's it. But like, if you're given the keys, you got to drive the car, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
You got to get everybody in the car and drive it.
But when Kawhi and Paul George come in, and like Kawhi's only moves that he's making are like to get his uncle a penthouse and to make Clippers PR run interference so that he can do his media availability as late as possible. Like, you know, like if you're going to give the keys to the franchise, you got to get involved and like make these guys feel like they're part of it. And who knows, maybe behind closed doors, Kawhi talks as much as we have on this podcast, and he's just like a real like easy guy to get behind, and we're making too much of this, because I do think that sometimes too much is made of chemistry. Like I think a lot of the times, like when players are talking on TV for it, like it's overvalued a little bit because they almost take the talent for granted. But like at the same time, like how can you not consider that a factor here when this team just completely folded like wet tissue paper when like they were presented with like any hint of adversity?
Well, it's also like the type of teams that did fold that way, right? Like, look, the Celtics are playing really, really well, but this is also the most committed they've been to a roster since the Big Three.
Yep.
You know, and you know, the Rockets, they completely folded to the point where like D'Antoni couldn't have waited until after that game was over. Like, if he could have, he would have announced at the third quarter, I'm not
Yeah, he would have
back.
Taken the – in a sideline interview, just been like, yeah, so anyway, I'm going to leave the Rockets at the end of this season. And
hey, Zion, are you ready? You know, like – and I, you know, I just look at and even like Milwaukee, for example. Like, one of the things that I've talked about now with Matt Moore and then that Adam and I, like, fight over, like, cats and dogs over is, like – the impact of not having Malcolm Brogdon. And if we just look at it from the standpoint of Malcolm Brogdon, the player, then no, like, is he the difference between winning and losing a championship? Maybe not, maybe not, whatever. But if you're telling your team, hey, what matters to me more here is a clean tax sheet than competing for a championship, of course that team is going to take that message. Of course that's going to effing matter. At the end of the day, and this is where, you know, people like to look at the Lakers as this evil empire or whatever, but the one thing that you and you, Harrison, and you, Pete, and I, as Laker fans, can actually enjoy is the fact that if the Lakers feel like they're close, you bet your ass they're going to commit beyond whatever it takes to win a championship. You bet your ass they're gonna keep some guys around, even if it costs them a little bit in the form of a luxury tax, because it gives them a chance to win a championship. And while that's great for us, I think that matters even more to players, because for players, they're saying, our organization's committed? Hell yeah, I'm going to commit too. And I think there's immense value in that. Pete, this is something you get to chime in on because I'm complimenting the Lakers.
That's right. I mean, well, look at the Lakers from top down. Look at how they get along. Look at how they work together, how they do fight through adversity, how they have just like they've gone through the whole process together. And this is what it looks like when people are on the same page. And it's a testament to the leadership on every level of the franchise that didn't happen to us tonight, right?
Yeah.
Like that. In fact, we've been far from it. We've played two teams that were both, you know, either a bad matchup for us or really hot coming into when we played them, and we handled business and we got progressively better. And when we lost game one in both series, and game one's going to be tough on Friday too, then, you know, we held together. We didn't fracture. That's what we saw over the last couple of games with the Clippers is they fractured. Right? Pressure fractures. And if you don't have a solid foundation, it fractures all the more easier.
Well, like, first of all, if I can, like, two things. Like, one, like, if the Lakers lose game one and then they win the next three, that is going to be an incredible, like, game five right there, because you have the Lakers who are undefeated in closeout games, and then you have the Nuggets who are undefeated in games where they can be closed out, and that's just, like, a rock meets a heart. Like, the Lakers may have to tank game – I saw the Kamenetsky brothers suggest the Lakers may have to tank game four, like, if they go up 2-1 just to make sure that the Nuggets don't, like, unlock their turbo superpower. And then the second thing is, you know, I've already like channeled my inner Pete on this podcast. People already think I sound like Darius. So if I can like make a Darius analogy, like, do you remember when you were kids on like, and you were picking teams for dodgeball or picking teams for pickup, like out on the recess yard? Like, how many Lakers did we hear when they were brought in either in the middle of the season or in the off season say that LeBron and Anthony Davis were on the phone with them, either one or the other or both.
Great point.
And like, we're trying to get them to come there. Like, I think that again, when we're talking about like, taking the keys and driving, like that's part of it too, is making guys feel like, okay, like you want to go a little harder for the guy that said, no, I want to bring Danny Green in, or no,
bring that
I want
guy.
KCP here, you know, like what, like whoever it may be, like, you know, that gives you, I think, a little bit more faith. And I think there's also like something to be said for like, you know, again, like the strength of this coaching staff, like, and like how they've banded together despite just coming together last year, and like how many like great strategies they've come up with in the playoffs where the Clippers like can't even figure out a functional rotation. Like, you know, again, like a lot of this is just like dancing on their graves, like post-mortem at this point. But like, I think the answer was kind of becoming clear throughout
the
playoffs, whether
salsa.
The Clippers moved
Let's
on or
keep
not,
this
who
thing
the better
going.
Team was.
You're saying that we might not, you know, we're dancing a little too much on the graves, but I'm wearing my salsa shoes. Like, I am, let's do this. Selena is playing in the background. But I also like in terms of not just the organizational value, because I think what you've just said is a huge point. It's a great point in terms of as the team is being built, everybody who was on the Lakers or who was acquired by the Lakers this last offseason knew that this was somebody that Anthony Davis and or LeBron was interested in having.
Like, did we hear about Kawhi calling anyone but Paul George? Like, not really. Well, like, it was a major story when Kawhi and even, Paul George revealed that they had spent time together during the season.
They spoke during the hiatus. That actually felt more press release than it was actual interaction.
Yeah, and then we have like Clippers reporters like, oh man, team chemistry, 100
emojis.
These
guys are so great. Yeah, yeah. Again, borderline.
Kawhi Leonard went 0-for-10 in the second half.
Wow.
But also,
still different.
I think also over the course of the season, this wasn't just something that ended after these guys were acquired, right? Like over the course of the season, we just saw it the other day. Alex Caruso hit one of the biggest shots of the season. And after LeBron passed him the ball, LeBron had no problem, was really happy to say, I trusted that guy taking that shot in that moment because that's what he was put there to do, you know? And I think you look at the way that the Clippers would sometimes interact, and not just sometimes, but especially in moments where the shit hits the fan, and it was heads a lot down. Of, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. And it was never like, it was never, because there were also like,
it was a lot of heads tilted downwards and a lot of yelling at the refs.
Well, but like we also like, cause the Lakers have also had those moments, right? Like they didn't look great during the bubble. And there were some stretches over the course of the season that the Lakers didn't look that great. And there were some times where they were sometimes pointing fingers at each other, but also like you never felt like after the game, those guys were going to go and throw each other under the bus. They were going to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, and part of that is going through the downtimes, going through the, oh crap, are we ever going to beat a good team? Christmas Day loss, things like that, right? Like the message that was received from each team involved in that Christmas Day game, like we took that and it's fuel for us, right?
MJ, I took that personally meme in that moment. Yeah. Like
that's right. Yeah, that's right. And that's like going through the failures together is part of that process throughout the season that you just can't skip steps.
Yeah. All right. Well, the Lakers are looking ahead to a matchup with the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. The Clippers are looking ahead to a really fascinating offseason, by the way.
No, it's actually fascinating that you have the Cancun backdrop right now. I think I just saw Paul George walk into the frame. I didn't realize that was live.
They're pretty close. You know, those guys, they could swim like right on over to where I am recording from right now. So
no, can I just, before we sign off here, can I just make one last point, one last thing? Like Mike Trudell vindicated Alex Caruso is better than Lou Williams. I think, look, like one of them made the conference finals and made key plays for his team off the bench and one of them didn't, you know?
I completely agree. Like Pete, you aren't allowed to chime in on this one.
Some players can play deeper into the playoffs and some cannot.
Some
are matchup problems for their team and others can, you know, make it work with a lot of different lineups.
Some get targeted to the point of being enormous detriments to their teams late in the playoffs and some do not.
And do some of them lock down Russell Westbrook and Damian Lillard, you know?
Do you think like
Thank you, Petty Pete.
Do you think all of Lou Williams' clothes just have a target on their back? Like somewhere.
I mean, the ones that aren't like stained with lemon pepper wing sauce or whatever.
That's what they're
glitter.
Glitter. There it is. All right, that's gonna do it for this episode. Thank you a ton, Harrison. Thanks for hopping on short notice. This was a lot of fun. We will be back tomorrow.
My check's in the mail, right?
Oh yeah. Okay, there, cool. It's on its way with the Clippers, you know, rings and all that. We have a fun show for you guys lined up tomorrow, in which I talk to Jeff Perlman, who wrote the three-peat book. I think also I'll probably set aside some time to preview the Lakers and Nuggets. We might get a bonus episode just so that to get you guys ready for the series that's up ahead. I wasn't anticipating this kind of a schedule because I wasn't anticipating the Clippers.
No, Anthony, so honestly, the most fitting thing that you could do that would be the most on brand for you is not even preview the Nuggets series. Like, don't even talk about it.
Wait, just there's troll Adam. The Nuggets.
Yeah, exactly.
They're playing another team.
Just like Adam posts his big, extensive like Lakers preview on Locked On Nuggets that day, and yours is just like, oh yeah, we're talking about like the Kobe biography.
It would piss him off so much. I might do that just to annoy Adam. But thank you again, Harrison, for hopping on short notice. Pete, thank you very much for not getting yourself fired. And thank you everybody else who have listened to this show and hopefully walk away from this understanding that culture and chemistry and these intangible things that the Rockets and the Clippers and teams that are built just like that seem to ignore, that stuff matters. It just does. And we're now seeing a conference finals on both sides of the equation that points exactly to that. So have a great rest of your day.
Two teams that deserve to be there. Hell yes.
Amen. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Stay safe out there. And fuck the Clippers.